You're on. No, you go ahead.
Good morning, Adriana Prata with the Budget Office, and I have here with me today our three Budget Office staff. I'd like to welcome aboard our second new budget staff person that we brought in this year, Trista Zugel-Benson. She will be mostly doing the law and justice part of Budget Office, working a lot with elected officials.
So you just introduced, I didn't quite catch the name.
Trista Zugel-Benson.
I'm Trista. I know Sarah.
And Sarah joined us in March, and Lisa Bowman. So we're all here today to talk with you about our general fund status of revenues and expenditures, review performance, and the current status of reserves, and do the usual economic outlook, looking at where we are and where we're going forward. And this PowerPoint is available on the website as well. We post this usually the Monday or Tuesday before the work session. Our agenda should look pretty familiar. We're going to review the adopted 2015-16 budget for the general fund. The focus for this presentation is the county's general fund, which is the one fund that is, of course, the largest, but also has all of the county's discretionary revenue and discretionary spending. We're going to review the adopted budget. We're going to look at the performance of revenues, expenses, and reserves, where we are with reserves for the first quarter of the year, January through March. And we're going to review the national and economic outlook. To start with a summary, we are basically starting our 2015-16 biennium with the $23.8 million in available reserves, and we will give you a detail about how we get to that number. The general fund budget, the adopted budget for 15-16, is actually balanced. Expenses equal revenues. We are not using reserves for the current biennium budget. We're estimating that reserves will stay at or above the $23 million recommended level through the end of the biennium, and those savings are heavily contingent on departmental underspending, especially in the payroll category. And turning to the outlook, the economic outlook, our budget forecast for both revenues and expenses is built on what we call cautiously optimistic assumptions. We are seeing positive trends continuing in the local and national economy. Risks, of course, remain. But the point is that the economy is performing in tune with our assumptions that we use in the current budget, and that is a good thing. So I'll start with an overview of our starting point for 15-16 for the general fund. The auditor's office is still working on their county financial statement for where we close the biennium for 13-14. This is their preliminary estimate. That official number for reserves, for unassigned reserves, available reserves, will be $25.9 million. However, we are making some adjustments to get to our $23.8 available reserves, and I'll take a little bit of time to explain those. We have about $3.3 million in revenues that are not truly available to us at the end of 13-14 to use, because due to a GASB reporting requirement, we have to acknowledge ahead of time revenues that we accrued in 13-14 but will not be received until 15. The cash won't be there until 15. You can think of it the same way as an analogy as your county paycheck. The two last weeks of December that are worked, we earn our wages, but we receive them in our paycheck for January 10. That paycheck is part of our 2015 income, and we use it to pay 2015 bills. This is the same situation. Revenue that is accrued, we know is owed to us in January and February of 2015, is being recognized as fund balance for 2014. However, we've already budgeted it as revenue. The cash is coming in 15-16 and is being used as part of the 15-16 budget. So we can't count it twice. We can't count it as being in reserves. And we can count it as being spent in 15-16 from our budgeting planning perspective. So basically we're deducting that 3.3 and we're adding in 1.2 million. This is sales tax revenue, additional revenue above forecast. Some of it is above forecast that was received in 2014. It has not been yet transferred to the general fund. We will do that this year. But that is available general fund revenue that was truly received and earned in 2014. That gives us estimated available fund balances of January 2015 of 23.8 million. That is our starting point for the biennium. Our expense budget is 295.7 million. The revenue budget is equal to that. It is a balanced budget that does not borrow from reserves. So the spending plan is to keep that fund balance intact. This is just a quick overview. This is a little bit darker on the colors that I was hoping you would be. This is just a general fund revenue of what our revenues for 15-16, an overview of the revenue composition. Property tax is 39% of the general fund. Sales tax is 20%. Other tax is 7%. Charges for services, 22%. And then we have some smaller revenues, intergovernmental revenues, licenses, permits, fines, and forfeitures. This is how revenues are doing through the first quarter of 2015. Overall, in the aggregate, revenues are tracking close to the forecast, but there are some trends within those aggregate revenues. And we will update our revenue forecast. We only have a quarter of data so far. We will be updating the revenue forecast at the next supplemental opportunity, which usually is in the fall readopt. Right now, we're seeing sales tax above forecast, $253,000. Property tax penalty and interest is still unusually high at $233,000. This is one-time penalty and interest being paid on properties that are sold that have delinquent property tax owed. Motor vehicle fees are ahead of the forecast, recording fees. On the other side, we have corrections department revenue, in particular supervision fees on the downside, and traffic penalties, clerk's fees collections have been declining over the last couple of years, some other miscellaneous revenues. We are working with departments on some of these revenues to understand the causes, and we're discussing with the finance team some mitigation opportunities. Overall, for the first quarter of 15, revenues are just about on forecast in the aggregate. Turning to the overall first quarter outlook for what that means for available reserves. So we started with the 23.8. We have about $800,000 in expense savings in the first quarter of the biennium. This is an unusually high number. We have a high number of vacancies. We are monitoring that closely as some of those vacancies are being filled and getting back to a more normal vacancy rate. We do not expect to see quite 0.8 million each quarter in general fund savings from under expenditures. But for that, and for that reason, we are not at this point projecting forward through the end of the biennium. We're just reporting the first quarter. We should have a much better idea when we have 2 to 3 quarters of data for the biennium. We are projecting that in the spring supplemental, which we are bringing forward to you next week in the public hearing, we will allocate an additional $800,000 for general fund expenditures. That is a balanced proposal that does not use reserves. It still puts us at 23.8 million through the first quarter, which puts us at slightly above the recommended amount, which is 23 million. That being said, we still want to remind you about those outstanding liabilities and needs. We have some facilities and infrastructure needs, and some of those proposals have been in that spring supplemental and are being evaluated and worked on. For example, the replacement of our telephone system, a document management system for at least some of the departments. We also are working on our financial management system, including our budgeting software system and HR payroll, which will need either a major upgrade or a look at alternative systems that might be more cost efficient. We also have other outstanding liabilities, which is some of those are transferring back the remaining parks to the general fund that are general fund responsibility that are currently supported by the Metropolitan Parks District funding. We also eliminated $3 million in subsidy transfers to other funds, the biggest one being public health that had some reserves that allowed them to not receive the full subsidy this biennium. So those will have to be restored to departments as we build our next budget cycle. So those are all things to keep in mind. And as usual, unknowns can occur, unforeseen declines in revenues, large unanticipated expenditures. So we are mindful that at this point we have the recommended amount of reserves. We're able to address some critical needs in the spring supplemental. We have actually money savings measures in that supplemental, but we are not dipping into those reserves at this point. Switching to the global economy outlook, we continue to see the U.S. economy being the main engine for growth. Otherwise, outside the U.S., growth is much slower or sluggish. The global economy grew at 3.4% in 2014, and that growth continues to be quite fragile and uneven among countries. The International Monetary Fund projects that world growth economic growth will be at about 3.5% and 3.8% for the next 2 years. One of the issues is that private investment in advanced economies contracted sharply during the recession and is still at a low level. There's also a lot of uncertainty in many economies due to financial constraints and policy uncertainty. And policy uncertainty is always a consideration for U.S. domestic policy as well. A large trend has been the trend for lower oil prices, which worldwide boosted discretionary consumer spending, but they do discourage energy sector investment, and certain countries are negatively impacted, especially the ones that are exporting oil. So that in the picture of the global economy, that is a concern for those countries. On the national economy front, economic growth actually slowed in the first quarter of 2015. For the preceding 6 months prior to March, we've seen a job growth that averaged about 281,000 jobs per month. March was only added 126,000 net jobs. The next jobs report is actually due on Friday, and the April job growth, the consensus by economists is that they expect to see about 220,000 jobs added. With a wide range of variation in estimates. So we'll get that jobs report on Friday. What also happened is that in the first quarter of the year, our GDP growth was slow. It was only 0.2%. And that kind of follows a similar pattern as last year that happened last year as well because of really bad winter weather, especially in heavy populated areas on the East Coast. We can't complain about weather here in the first quarter of the year, but that did impact heavily consumer spending. And then the other issue that was specific to the first quarter was the West Coast ports conflict. There was a recent tentative deal reached on this, so hopefully we will see a pickup there. But that basically meant that imports were trapped on boats and exports were trapped on land. So they finally reached an agreement there, and hopefully that backlog will start diminishing in the following few months, 2 months or so. The manufacturing sector activity has been soft, and the housing market has a mixed indicators feel. Home prices and home sales continue to rebound, but the new construction activity remains weak, and we will show you some trends there. Consumer confidence was at 95.2 in April, which is a decline from March. March was 101. Anything above 90 signifies economic growth. Anything about 100 is strong economic growth. So despite this decline, consumer confidence is at a good level. So overall, looking forward, we're hoping that what's really happening with the softening of the economy in the first quarter of the biennium is a temporary slowdown that will follow the pattern of last year, and that we will see a pickup in the ensuing months. The Clark County economy has been growing with respect to employment at an accelerated growth. 4.9% was the jobs growth in the last 12 months. The economy added 6,900 jobs. That compares to 2% growth in the U.S. nationwide. Washington State, 3.2%. Portland Metro, 3.2%. We've added jobs in trade, transportation and utilities, professional and business services, and education and health services. That puts our most recent reliable adjusted estimate for unemployment at 8.3% in February. And here's a chart of unemployment rates historically from 2001 through February of 2015. And you can see that that gap is narrowing between Clark County unemployment and Portland Metro and Washington State. Looking at housing market, as of March 2015, we had 2.6 months of supply, which is truly on the low end of inventory. We are seeing a median home price of $249,500, which is a 7.4% year-to-date increase, according to the regional multiple listing service data. Our building permits issued countywide, these are countywide data collected by the Census Bureau. When we compare the first quarter of 15 to the first quarter of 14, single family permits increased. This was a 49% increase from last year. Multifamily had a slight decline of 6%. However, looking at the number of permits and the activity, it really is in high demand compared to historical trends. So multifamily is really in high demand for new construction and doing very well. It's the single family permits, and we'll show you a chart on that, that are still at historical lows. Countywide sales for taxable retail sales were up 7.4% in the fourth quarter compared with the fourth quarter of 2013. That is the latest data that we have available. There is a lag in how the Department of Revenue releases the data. Construction-related sales were up only 2%, which is a slowdown for the fourth quarter of 14, and then vehicle sales were up 11% countywide. We do not, the Census Bureau does not collect information for non-residential building permits. This is our own county data, courtesy of our community development department, and this shows basically the valuation, the assessed value of commercial and industrial, basically non-residential building permit activity. It shows quarterly data going back to 2000 by quarter. There are markings where we had unusually high levels of activity due to one-time projects. And you can see that, and we're looking at valuation and not at the number of permits, because for commercial and industrial projects, the value of one permit can be significantly different from another. So what really matters is the total valuation of the project. So we're seeing overall in the last couple of years good growth in that area. We're almost back to historical levels once we take back those one-time events that drive the numbers higher in specific years. So the first quarter of 2015 was healthy growth versus 2014, as you can see on the orange bar up there. These are the building permits, which are countywide, collected by the Census Bureau with some adjustments for missing data. This shows a smoothed line. It's a 12-month rolling average of our single-family residential permits issued. So while commercial and multifamily activity is strong, the single-family housing construction market remains weaker. And this trend is in tune with national trends. This is happening everywhere. It's a national trend. This is just the Clark County numbers. So the permits are up, but they're still much lower if you compare that line from 2000 to before the housing bubble. You can see that we're still at a rather low level of single-family construction. And here's a chart that shows countywide taxable retail sales. This is the year-over-year change. The bars are the actual numbers in millions, and then the actual top of the bars are showing the percent change from year to year. We're showing separately construction and building materials versus all other taxable retail sales. We've been fortunate to see 9% annual year-over-year increase in 13 and 14. Typical historical averages are more in the long term, 3 to 5%, depending on how well the economy is doing. So we've had a few years. Of course, we're following a sharp decline in 2008-09. We're recovering off a lower base, so we're seeing a 9% annual increase for the last couple of years. And we also wanted to show you, this is good news about our real estate excise tax revenues. This is the excise tax that is charged on sales of properties. The county collects 0.5% of the total 1.78%. The state's share is 1.28%. This is what currently pays for the bulk of the county's debt. It supports about $6 to $7 million worth of annual debt. And those collections were up in the first quarter of 2015. They were up 49%, which is great news. It really is a function of the sale price of properties as well as the volume of sales, and that applies to both residential and commercial activity. Actually, when I looked at the April data, it was only a 4% annual increase over April of last year. There can be a lot of volatility. This is probably the most volatile large revenue that we have. It declined over 70% during the recession years. It's important that it's growing back. It is supporting our debt. We have a pretty constant level of debt payments out of this tax revenue until about 2027. So it is important that it is growing. And we used to use this REIT, for example, for parks in the past, and we're not doing that momentarily. It's supporting our debt. But as it's growing back, we might be able to address some of our critical needs for funding for parks, major maintenance and capital repairs, for which we momentarily do not have a stable funding source. So I just wanted to share the good news that REIT is doing better. And there's a small portion of this that goes to the general fund, which is just the admin fee that goes to defray costs done by the treasurer's office to recoup the cost of collecting the revenue. Overall, risks remain. The U.S. economy continues to be the main engine of recovery. We are seeing weak recovery outside the United States. Disruptions for global trade and financial transactions continue due to geopolitical tensions. As you follow the news and you see what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, Middle East, and parts of Africa, there's concern about some stagnation in advanced economies. The latest International Monetary Fund analysis is noticing that advanced economies are actually doing a little bit better than projected, but there's been a slowdown in emerging economies. There's uncertainty about monetary policy and how accommodative that is going to continue to be, both internationally by different governments as well as at home. And then the downsides continue of a stronger dollar for countries that owe U.S. debt in the global economy. That is an issue. The stronger dollar also makes it more difficult for United States imports because they're more expensive for other countries. And then we also have a mixed effect of the impact of lower oil prices. Countries that are exporting oil are seeing a downfall from that. So there are winners and losers in the global economy on both sides of the equation. So those risks remain. So overall, to conclude on our presentation, we started the current biennium with reserves that are slightly above the recommended level. We are projecting to stay there throughout the biennium. As we said, it's a balanced budget that does not borrow from the reserves. Our supplemental does not borrow from the reserves. We are addressing critical essential items as we move through the biennium while preserving, as the board indicated, that it is a priority, preserving the reserves. For the economic outlook, the economy continues to see moderate growth. We're hoping that this first quarter is what we've seen last year, which is just a slump, a temporary slump, followed by recovery, hopefully. Risks remain. Our projections remain, however, cautiously optimistic, and we're seeing developments in the economy that are consistent with our assumptions for the revenue forecast for expenses and revenues.
Okay. Counselor? A lot, you make it look easy. So much of the work has been done by the budget office. People know when to say yes and when to say no to each of the requests that come through. And the I don't take balanced budget that's meeting or exceeding recommended targets. I don't take that for granted. Very well done. The staff has really done so well. And I'm also aware of one of the significant contributions that helped us to stay as solid as we are is that staff has continued to underspend the budget. That is excellent. That says that we're all conscious, we're all aware of being good stewards to make sure that the services are they're doing really well. And staff is doing so in a way that's going above and beyond. I really appreciate that. And Mark, as the first county manager that's managing this whole team and making sure that everybody has what they need to succeed, well done. This is very good.
I think you need to recognize the other elected officials as well who contributed to that understanding as well.
Absolutely. Good point, because we're all a team here. So each one, thank you.
Do you have any questions, Councilor?
Yes, two questions. We can go back to page 3 or 4, general fund revenue slide.
Yes. Oh, right there.
There we are. So,
this one?
Charge for services.
Right.
The revenue from that is 22% of our overall revenue.
Right.
So, refresh my memory what kinds of fees those are. Not a comprehensive list.
Right. A big example, what we call 6211 costs, those are revenues that are being reimbursed to us by the City of Vancouver for work we do for them, as well as all of the work that's being done by general fund departments for other funds. For example, Oliver does a lot of work that is being billed to Public Works. His budget consistently includes about $1.5 million a biennium for work that he does for Public Works, and he gets reimbursed. So those are charges for services.
So those are inter-fund?
Those are not transfers. Some of them are transfers, set up as transfers, but in his case, they're reimbursables.
So other than reimbursements, are there any other charges for services?
There are. For example, GIS department might provide certain work for the public, and they charge for those services.
Okay, thank you. And on page number 7, Clark County economy.
Yes.
Residential building.
Yes.
It's actually the slide with the explanation. That one. So when we talk about residential building permits, part of this indicates the final bullet in that box.
Right, the multifamily.
Multifamily, 269 compared with 286, parentheses, 6% decline, but still far above average.
Right. So, sorry if it sounds confusing. I will clarify. So we've seen in the first 3 months of 2015, January through March, we have seen 269 multifamily permits being issued. That is a 6% decline from the first 3 months of 2014. We really have to compare the data because, for example, summer, we can't compare consecutive quarters. We couldn't compare summer, the second quarter of the year, to the first, so we compared year over year. So that was a 6% decline. Although it was a decline, it still is at unusually high levels. In past years, we used to have that many permits in 1 year, and we've had that many in a quarter. So despite that 6% decline, actually multifamily activity is still, construction for multifamily units is still continuing at a high rate. Correct, yes.
And it's not necessarily indicative of what the whole year or any particular trend.
Exactly. It is a slight decline, but it's way higher than normal. If you look at the last couple of years compared to the previous 10, we're seeing very high levels. There's some variation, but it really is not. I probably shouldn't even put the 6% decline in there, because the trend that really matters is that we're seeing a lot of activity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Correct.
Does the county have a similar?
For the general fund, we do. It is a very small percentage. It is a very small amount. It is not a large amount in the overall picture. I can provide the exact amount for the leasehold excise tax.
And it's just whether it's a material factor or not. It sounds as though it is not a material factor.
It is not a large amount.
On that same slide here, for median home price, the year-to-date median price is up 7.4%. That's just for the first 3 months.
Correct, for the first 3 months of the year.
Is that continuing?
We've seen. I believe year over year, the increase is about 9%. If we're looking at the last 12 months, it's about 9%.
For a whole year.
For that is simply for the first quarter, and winter prices tend to be a little bit lower. We expect prices to go up as summer approaches and the high season approaches. So there's some seasonality there. I should have provided the year over year, which I believe, just trying to remember from the RMLS report, was 9%. But we have seen consistent increase appreciation in Clark County in home prices. Nationwide, in some areas, that has slowed down. That increase in prices has slowed down. For Clark County, we're still seeing year over year significant appreciation in home prices.
We started our fee waiver back in June of 2013.
Right.
The original plan was to put around $3 million standby in case we needed to prime the pump, and that we took that away. Has that had any negative effect on the general fund or any of these funds?
No, we did not have to use any general fund funding for the fee holiday.
And nothing forecasted for the future?
No, we do not currently have anything budgeted to pay for fee holiday costs. We did not anticipate
any. The balances for the community development that funds the permit processing and the road fund, that revenue stream compared to the expenses?
Right now, their revenue stream is supporting existing operations. We are actually bringing a proposal to you next week to add some staff to the building department, because they're seeing increases in activity. So at this moment, revenues are covering those expenditures, the ongoing expenditures, and we review that. They actually requested 5 staff, but we only recommended funding 3 of the 2 because we are closely watching those revenues to make sure that any expense that's added is sustainable.
And the projections that you're counting on here assumes, yeah, you have some starting point, assumes that the proposed budget changes that are coming before us here over the next couple of weeks.
Correct.
Yeah, are that's just simply your base. So
correct. We're including that.
Proposed.
We are including that in the projections. So basically what we're saying is that we're starting with this amount of reserves. We're acknowledging the under expenditure savings from departments by 0.8 million. We are projecting that we're going to be adding to expense 0.8, which will still put us as of today at 23.8.
And part of that budget is to take some of the existing debt, and for us to take about half of that. Do you still have some funding for that?
Correct. We will bring some information on this in the public hearing next week. One of the supplemental packages is really saving the county a significant amount in refinancing debt. We've been working with the treasurer's office and with the finance team, and it was really a joint effort to make it work. It's a complex refinancing where half of the debt that we're refinancing is financed internally by borrowing from ourselves and paying back some interest to the general fund. And the other half is an external loan. So overall, we're actually saving real estate excise tax. It's over $500,000. We are bringing a little bit of extra interest earning revenue to the general fund, and we're also saving some money for the fire district that pays rent to us, and their rent is linked to the debt payment, so they're actually saving some money as well.
Are there any other elected officials that the elected will choose us? They can see the table and provide any feedback or questions.
The only thing I'll provide.
Peter, can you come to the microphone?
Okay.
So that the citizens that are going to be listening.
All over there.
Okay. In here.
The only thing I'll provide some feedback is on the above forecast property tax penalties and interest. We actually have been very aggressive starting an audit program on current use. We've found a number of people who've been on the program for 27 years, haven't been farming, and we're aggressively moving over to take them out of the program since that's a tax shift to everyone else.
That's following state law, right?
That's following state law. And, the office for a while had been auditing a lot of these people, so we moved toward auditing, take people out of the program that shouldn't be on there. Right. So we have a number of fees that are coming in, and we'll keep moving forward in terms of getting these people back into compliance or off the program if they don't comply. So
that helps to explain that the higher than normal category that we should have become.
Thank you for that explanation.
Anyone else? Hey, Mark, any feedback?
Not really. The usual outstanding job by Adriana and the newly completed budget team.
Yes. Taxpayer's best friend. Keep us all working in the green. Really appreciate our budget team. And for Sarah and Teresa, that if you're new to our team, just want to let you know that we have great confidence in our budget office. You joined a really good team. And I appreciate Bob Stevens, your continued setting that team up for success and blazing the trail in the farming direction. Really appreciate that. So,
thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.